This is Commander Ray Ford, and it's my pleasure to introduce our next speaker for this session, where we'll discuss risk evaluation and mitigation strategies, also known as REMS, inspections. Our next speaker is Peter Dyack, PharmD MPH, Captain, United States Public Health Service, Team Leader, REMS Compliance Team. Welcome, Captain Dyack.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much, Commander Ford. I'm here to talk today about the risk evaluation and mitigation strategy inspections. Before we get started, I wanted to start off with a couple jokes. What's the best way to catch a unique rabbit? Unique up on it. What's the best way to catch a tame rabbit? The tame way. So, all seriousness aside, no, all jokes aside, just wanted to let you know that we're not going to sneak up on you during REMS inspections. This presentation is really to get to the point, be transparent, and get the information out there for the people who need it about what a REMS is, what a REMS inspection is, and what we do here at FDA. So again, I'm Captain Peter Dyack. I'm the team leader for the REMS compliance team. And the second part of this presentation will be done by Haley Seymour. She's a reviewer on the REMS compliance team. So the objectives of this presentation are to provide an overview of the REMS program and how applicant holders or applicants can prepare for REMS inspections. And we want to provide best practices for how to prepare and how to respond when we do REMS inspection. And just as a reminder, REMS inspections are unannounced, so we do not give a heads up of when we will be showing up and doing a REMS inspection. But again, we don't want to sneak up and find anything, so we want to be transparent. So the agenda of this presentation is to give an overview of what a REMS is, what the elements are in a REMS. We're going to talk very briefly of what shared system REMS are. And there was a recent guidance published recently about shared system REMS, if you need more information on shared system REMS. Then we'll go more into detail on what a REMS inspection is and the process that we do. And then we'll talk about best practices and REMS-specific issues and how to prepare for a REMS inspection. So quickly, what is a REMS? It's not rapid eye movement syndrome. It's a risk evaluation and mitigation strategy. The regulatory definition, it's a required risk management plan that uses risk minimization strategies beyond professional labeling to ensure that the benefits of the drug outweigh the risks. Currently, there are 74 approved REMS programs, so not every drug that's FDA approved has a REMS. It's very limited. There are only 74 REMS program that are currently approved. FDA created a new section, 5051, that of the Act that authorized FDA to require a REMS. And the drug and biologic applicant holders actually developed the REMS program. They submit that program to FDA, and FDA reviewers will review and approve the REMS program. So there is some back and forth and negotiation during that process, but it is an FDA-approved program that the applicant holder has developed. A REMS program can be for a single drug or a class of drugs, and we'll get into more examples of the different currently approved REMS are. And each REMS has a specific safety measure unique to the safety risks associated with that particular drug or class of drugs. So that's basically just saying every REMS is unique. There's no two REMS that are identical and that they're trying to mitigate a particular safety risk. REMS are enforceable. A REMS cannot be introduced into interstate commerce before it's fully operational. So once you have an application that is approved, you can't just start marketing it right away. You need to have the REMS fully implemented if that was a condition of approval. If you do, we can find that the drug can be misbranded and we can impose civil monetary penalties according to the Act. These are just some examples of risks that we use REMS to mitigate. If we know that there's a risk of a serious infection, we can try and educate patients through a communication plan and try and describe the symptoms of that infection so healthcare providers and patients can be aware of that. If we're aware of a severe allergic reaction during injection, we can require healthcare professionals to become certified when they administer the drug so they know what signs and symptoms to look for. If we're aware of a potential liver risk with a drug, we can require liver monitoring to make sure that the patient's liver is functioning properly. And if we're aware of potential severe birth defects, we can require a negative pregnancy test before the drug is dispensed. These are different elements that can be included in a REMS. And remember, we said that every REMS is unique. It doesn't have to have all these elements. It's based on what the risk is that we're trying to mitigate. So a REMS can include a medication guide. It can include a communication plan. It can include elements to assure safe use, also known as a TASU, and it can include an implementation system. And it include one of these or all four of them. It just depends on that REMS. However, all REMS do need to include a timetable for submission of assessments. This is just a report of how your REMS is functioning, and that is submitted to FDA. At a minimum, according to the Act, is at 18 months, 3 years, and 7 years. However, FDA can determine that we need these assessment reports submitted more frequently, and sometimes we'll ask for them at 6 months after approval and then annually thereafter. But again, it can be at a minimum of 18 months, 3 years, and 7 years. This is a slide talking a little bit about the shared system REMS. It can be developed for a single drug or biologic product or for a class of drugs. It includes the NDA as well as the ANDAs, and the applicant holders need to work together to create this single shared system REMS. So it can create some challenges of getting potential competitors to work together to create a REMS program. But once that is put together and it's FDA approved, we would expect that there would be a single REMS document that would be enforceable. There would be a single set of REMS material that were available. The exception would be that the medication guides would be unique to that particular drug product. And then the supporting documents would be specific to the particular program. And another part of the shared system REMS is that the companies would work together to develop a shared database with infrastructure. And often a lot of this work is contracted out to different vendors to do the majority of the work for shared system REMS. These are just some examples of currently approved shared system REMS. We have the iPledge program. We have the extended release long-acting opioid analgesic REMS. This is currently the largest REMS program that we have with the most number of applications in it. And then we also have the buprenorphine transmucosal products for opioid dependence, or the BTOD REMS. These are just a couple of the shared system REMS. This is a slide that shows how FDA uses the information that we have available to us to determine what sites to select for conducting a REMS inspection. So our team in compliance, we get information from the Office of Surveillance and Epidemiology, Office of New Drugs, Office of Generic Drugs, and the Office of Regulatory Policy. They'll funnel information to the REMS compliance team in the Office of Compliance, and we'll issue the REMS inspection. We're issuing that inspection to the Office of Regulatory Affairs, or ORA, and they will actually be the ones who are on-site and conducting the REMS inspection. So ORA and CEDAR are working together, and we are working together to conduct efficient and effective REMS inspections. This diagram shows the flow process of how the REMS compliance team and ORA works together during a REMS inspection. So once we identify, the REMS compliance team identifies the applicant holder for inspection, we'll issue an assignment to ORA, and it will include the specific instructions on what that investigator should be looking for during the inspection. The ORA investigator, when they're out on inspection, if they identify any observations or violations, they can issue a form FDA 483 listing any observations. And after their inspection, they'll write up what's known as an establishment inspection report, or an EIR, and that will have a classification on it, and that will be sent to the REMS compliance team, and the REMS compliance team determines the final classification of that inspection, and then we will be issuing a closeout post-inspectional letter that will go to the applicant holder so they're aware of any findings from that REMS inspection. And throughout the rest of this presentation and this afternoon's presentation, we have somebody from ORA presenting, and we'll get more into the workings of the inspection process and what these acronyms mean. So the purpose of a REMS inspection is very simple. It's to verify that the REMS is implemented and functioning in accordance to the FDA-approved REMS. And this information can be found at the REMS at FDA website. A REMS document includes what the currently approved REMS program requires. And during an inspection, the investigator can also ask and try and verify that the information provided in the REMS assessment report is accurate and valid. So how do we select a REMS to be inspected? We're looking primarily at REMS with ETASU, the higher risk REMS. We use a risk-based approach. So if a REMS with ETASU has never been inspected before, we're likely to put that at the top of our list. And then we work our ways down to REMS with communication plans, and then MedGuide-only REMS. And we also, again, try and get information from others in the center, from Office of New Drug and Office of Surveillance and Epidemiology, and that helps us with our risk-based approach for issuing REMS inspections. We inspect the applicant holder or the sponsor. We can also inspect the vendor or contractor because we're aware a lot of the work is being done by third parties or the vendors. When we are conducting a inspection at a contractor site or a contractor inspection, it's important to remember that the applicant holder retains the statutory obligation to ensure that the REMS is functioning in accordance to the approved REMS. So similar to this earlier presentation with PAID, even though you are contracting out the work, the applicant holder still maintains obligation to ensure that the REMS is functioning as approved. Specific information that we're collecting on a contractor site inspection, we collect a copy of the contract, a list of any subcontractors, a description of the processes and functions performed by the contractor, any records pertaining to the REMS, and any training materials and any standard operating procedures that that contractor site might have. This is a slide that shows the number of inspections that we've conducted by fiscal year. You can see that it averages between 15 and 20 or so, or 10 or 20 inspections per year. And this number has maintained basically normal, consistent through the program. REMS are a relatively new program. It was FDA was approved in 2007, and so we're still continuing to learn from our REMS inspections and trying to improve the process. REMS inspection classifications. Classification of REMS inspection can be no action indicated. When we're out on inspection, the investigator might find no objectionable conditions or practices. They can find finding a voluntary action indicated, or VAI, objectionable conditions, but not at the threshold to take regulatory action. And then an official action indicated, or OAI, the investigator did find significant objectionable conditions found and regulatory action was recommended. I will give you some insight that the majority of REMS inspections have had findings of NAI or a few VAIs. We're aware that there's a lot of negotiation and working between the center and the applicant holder during the approval process and in producing those assessment reports. And we feel like that's helping the REMS program being conducted according to the approved REMS document. General information that we collect on inspection, we want to know when the REMS was operational and the date that the product launched. Because again, the REMS needs to be fully operational before you can introduce your drug into interstate commerce. We'll ask for a list of contractors associated with the REMS program, the specifications, what the contractor is doing, any written procedures and training materials, and then the organizational charts that the applicant holder will collect. And then we'll get into the details specific to that REMS program. And as I said, every REMS is unique, so every REMS inspection is going to be tailored to that particular REMS program. And now we're going to get into the different types of REMS and the different types of REMS inspections. And Haley Seymour from the compliance team will do the second part of this presentation.
Hi, my name is Haley Seymour, and I'm going to continue and speak about the different aspects of REMS inspections. So Peter mentioned that we have medication guides as part of the REMS. When FDA requires that a medication guide be issued with certain prescribed drugs and biological products, when the agency determines the following, certain information is necessary to prevent serious adverse effects. Patient decision-making should be informed by information about a known serious side effect with a product, or if the patient's adherence to directions for the use of the product are essential to its effectiveness. So those are the reasons why we have medication guides as REMS. Also, medication guides should be dispensed when the drug is dispensed, and it should also be written in non-technical language with standardized format. That includes a standardized font, header, and it should be provided in addition to the information sheets with the medication guide. So you may ask yourself, what do we look for during inspections that include medication guides? So we should be looking for if the medication guide that is being distributed is the approved medication guide that is given to each patient when the drug is dispensed. And while we're on the inspection, we'll also collect a copy of the medication guide that is given to each patient. Also, we have REMS inspections that include communication plans. Communication plans are FDA-approved materials which are used to aid the applicant's implementation of the REMS and inform healthcare providers about risks. It's important to remember that a communication plan is targeted at healthcare providers to support implementation of the REMS. Communication guides can include sending healthcare, Dear Healthcare Letter, provider letters to the healthcare providers. Also, communication plans can include disseminating information about the REMS elements to encourage implementation by healthcare providers or to explain certain safety protocols, such as medical monitoring by periodic laboratory tests or disseminating information to healthcare providers through professional societies about a serious risk about the drugs or the protocol to assure safe use of the drugs. The most important thing to remember about communication plan is that it is there to raise awareness of the risks by educating and informing. So what do we look for in inspection that we're going on that has a communication plan? First, we may look for the distribution dates of the communication plan and make sure that the dates are provided in the REMS document. Additionally, we look for the professional journal communications and we determine if the dates are provided as required in the REMS document. And then we want to verify that the communication plan is available on the REMS website if that is applicable to that REMS. Here is a list of possible 483 items that we might cite on an inspection with a communication plan. If the applicant has not distributed the communication plan to the required professional societies or healthcare providers, or if the communication plan was distributed late. Additionally, if the applicant is not distributing the healthcare letters that the REMS requires. Some of our inspections have what we refer to as elements to assure safe use, which is also referred to as ATASUs. These are intended to provide safe access for patients to drugs with known serious risks that would otherwise be unavailable. The required ATASU are put in place to mitigate the specific serious risks listed in the labeling of the drug. An ATASU is a strategy to mitigate a specific risk. Okay, we have several elements that are part of an ATASU. The ATASU can include one or more of the following. For element A, prescribers have particular training or experience, or they are required to be specially certified. For element B, the dispensers of the drug must be certified. For element C, drug administration is restricted to certain healthcare settings. And for element D, you must provide documentation of safe use conditions prior to dispensing the drug. For element E, we require monitoring of patients. And then for element F, there must be enrollment of patients in a special registry. First, I'm going to talk about element A. Element A refers to prescribers having particular training or experience, or that they are specially certified. An example of a REMS with element A is the IRLA opioid analgesic REMS, and that REMS has an education program for prescribers. The Qsymia REMS has a training program that is required. And finally, the Caprelsa and isotretinoin REMS require that they must be specially certified. So you may be asking yourself, what do we look for in inspections that include element A? On those inspections, we make sure and verify that the number of healthcare providers have received training and that their certification is documented. And then we also verify that the documentation of the applicant's activities related to surveillance of the REMS have been put in place. And always we make sure the applicant has addressed or identified any noncompliance that they may have found prior to us getting there. For element B, this is in reference to the certification that is required for dispensers. An example of a REMS with element B is the clozapine REMS, which requires the pharmacy to be certified, and then the Lemtrada REMS requires that all healthcare settings are certified. So you may want to know, what do we look for during inspections that include element B? We're looking for documentation of compliance with the requirements with the training, enrollment. We're also looking for documentation of the healthcare setting, the pharmacy, and the practitioners that their certification is documented. We look for documentation of the database that includes the pharmacies, healthcare settings, and practitioners. And we look to see that there's a mechanism that the applicant uses to address noncompliance. And always we go and see if the applicant has noticed or identified and addressed any noncompliance. For element A, this is in reference to drugs that are administered and restricted to certain healthcare settings. This is element C, And that is in reference to the AVID REMS. What do we look for in an inspection that includes element C? Again, we're looking for documentation. We need to make sure that you have documentation that your drug is only being shipped to certified facilities and that there is documentation of healthcare settings and wholesalers and distributors with their enrollment process. Ideally, we would look to see if there is any activities related to compliance with the REMS program, and if you have found any non-compliance issues and have addressed them. Element D is in reference to documentation of safe use conditions that are used prior to dispensing the drugs. An example of that is the clozapine and triclair REMS, which requires a patient enrollment form, and the isotretinoin REMS, which requires laboratory tests. What do we look for in an inspection that has element B? Again, we look for documentation. We look for documentation of the safe use conditions of the REMS program call center, and we look for documentation of a validated, secure, maintained database. Also, the applicant, if they have any issues of noncompliance, we look to see if they have documented it, identified it, and addressed it. For element A, it is in reference to the monitoring of patients. The clozapine REMS requires that patients are monitored. What do we look for in an inspection that includes element E? We look for documentation of monitoring of, based on the approved REMS, and the pharmacies, practitioners, and patients in healthcare. If there's any noncompliance, we need to see documentation of that. And if the applicant has addressed, identified any noncompliance in their program, that should be documented prior to us coming out to your inspection. Finally, element F. Element F refers to enrollment of certain patients in a registry. The isotretinoin and mycophenolate REMS both require a pregnancy registry. On inspections that require a registry, we are going to verify that the registry is in place and all the patients that are enrolled are in the registry. Again, we are going to look for documentation. If you have identified any noncompliance, we need you to address it and provide documentation of it. Finally, we have inspections that include implementation systems. And these inspections refer to element B, which is the certification of dispensers, element C, which is in reference to the drug administration restricted to certain healthcare settings, And then element D, documentation of safe use conditions prior to dispensing. These may include a system through which the applicant is able to take reasonable steps to monitor and evaluate implementation of these elements. What do we look for in an inspection that includes an implementation system? I can't stress it enough, but we look for documentation of your procedures and your processes in references to the approved REMS requirements. If you are required to have a database, we are looking for documentation that is maintained, that it's validated, and that it is secure. We also look for documentation of your call center and your program website. We look for audit summaries and ongoing audit plans you may have in place. And if you have identified any non-compliance, that you have addressed it and it is documented. So, after we're at your inspection, you're probably wondering what kind of possible enforcement can we take? Well, we have the ability to seize your drugs subject to the REMS requirements. We can issue an injunction, or we have civil monetary penalties. Let's go over the key points that were presented by Peter and myself. And one, the REMS compliance program is available on FDA's BIMO compliance program webpage. It's important to remember that REMS are for a single drug or a class of drugs. And as Peter stated, REMS are unique and they're different, and no two REMS are exactly the same. They're all special in themselves. If you have any questions for us in reference to the REMS compliance program, feel free to contact us at the email cedar-osi-rmp@fda.hhs.gov. Additionally, I've provided some resources. The one that you should pay particular attention to is the REMS at FDA website. It includes all kinds of great information that you will need in reference to REMS inspections.